good to have everyone this morning. It's time to begin our Bible class. We have visitors with us. Thankful for you being here. Hope you can come and be back with us again. We're going to be studying Acts chapter 6 this morning in our study of Acts. Appreciate all the men that have taken part so far and looking forward to those in the future, Lord willing. A lot of things have taken place in the book of Acts already, isn't there? We've recalled how Christ ascended, how the apostles received the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the first recorded sermon by Peter in Acts 2, and the first mention of the church in Acts 2, and they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved, in verse 47. We find Peter and John healing a lame man, and that caused some controversy, didn't it, with the Jews, specifically the Sadducees here. And, of course, Peter and John then taken, released, and told not to preach in Jesus' name again. Of course, they did, and even with all the more boldness, didn't they? We find those in need among the church, those members of the early church, and how that was taken care of, that there was none that lacked, in chapter 4 and verse 34. We find Ananias and Sapphira that we talked about last Sunday, when they lied and they died. And again, then all the apostles being put in prison, miraculously being released through the angel of the Lord. And they continued daily after being released in verse 42, chapter 5, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly how much time has elapsed during this, but it would not have been a lot of time here after Pentecost. And so that leads us into chapter 6. The church has been established, and let's just read, this being the shortest chapter of Acts, the book of Acts, 15 verses here. Let's read verses 1 through 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And when the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we'll take a look at these first 7 verses here to start with. There was a problem that arose here, wasn't there, among the early Christians of the church at Jerusalem. What was that problem? John. Yeah, so there was a murmuring. There was a neglection, apparently, wasn't there. So the murmuring, we've talked a lot about murmuring, haven't we? What is murmuring? To complain. Huh? Yeah, it's a grumbling, maybe holding a grudge, complaining. And was there a legitimate issue here? Not that we are to complain, but there was an issue that needed addressed, wasn't there? And there were widows that were being neglected in the daily ministration. So apparently, we think back early in chapter 3 or 4, In verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands, they sold, and there was none that lacked, was there? And so apparently at this time, among some of the widows, there was some lacking going on. And so they were trying to take care of this daily ministration, this serving, this need that was the widows had. This distinction between the Grecians and against the Hebrews. The Grecians would have been, what would have been the difference there? John? Greek-speaking Jews. Okay, yeah, the Grecians would have been Greek-speaking Jews. They were not from Jerusalem, were they? The Hebrews would have been from Jerusalem. And so you had, and remember in Acts chapter 2, we had, and in verse 5, and there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So again, we had this large group from many different places, out of every nation. So they spake different languages. They spoke different languages.
That's one of the things you see here. You talk about the influence of our social existence. Here you have these Hebrew widows being influenced by the Grecian culture. And you just have to realize how culture influences.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it is going to influence us, isn't it? And when you bring a mix of people striving for the same thing, there's obviously going to be some issues that pop up, and there were, and so they were being neglected, and so what was the solution to the problem? Okay, to find in verse 3, brethren, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. So they're looking for seven men. There is a reason that the apostles didn't take care of this themselves, wasn't there? And in verse 2, we find that. What was the reason? It is, who'd like to fill in the blanks there? Is not reason. Yeah, it was not reason. We should leave the word of God and serve tables. So what can we learn from this? What maybe did you think about when you read that, Daryl?
There was time, but the time that they were spending was identifying and making
okay.
But I want to go back and talk about, he said, look at for 12 men. I mean, you said 12, look at seven men. But how were those men? It wasn't just any kind of men.
Right.
They were honest men.
Right.
With good men. They had to be a special type of man. They just couldn't be just anybody.
That's right. That's right. We'll talk about that a little later here. No. That's fine. That's fine. So it wasn't that it wasn't important, but everyone had their role, didn't they, Richard? That's exactly right. Yep. He was talking to them in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so they were being about the Lord's business in the direction that he had given them, wasn't he? And They also, in Acts 1 and in verse 8, Christ's directions to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Their work had just begun, hadn't it? They were still in Jerusalem. Their work was starting in Jerusalem, and it was going to spread to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So they had a lot more work to do, didn't they? And this was going to burden them down in that work, wouldn't it? So think about the number of Christians that had been added throughout this time. In Acts 2 and verse 40, well, yeah, Acts 2 and verse 41, when we find that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And in chapter 4 and verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And in verse 32 of that same chapter, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And then chapter 5 and verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And then we find here in chapter 6, verse 1, and the number of the disciples was multiplied. So there was a lot of multiplying going on, wasn't there? A lot of addition to the church going on. There was a lot of things to take care of, to teach, as far as what that they should not leave the Word of God. They were busy adding to the church here early on, weren't they? And they wanted to keep doing that. Now, again, this work was necessary, though, wasn't it? And so it made this question as well made me think about, if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 16, every joint supplying here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. It takes all of us, doesn't it? For the increase of the body to be doing different works. We may not all have the same ability, but the apostles were set up to do this thing. They were appointed to do that by the Lord, commanded to do that. And so it's really no different today for us. We each may have our own abilities. Not may, we do. We do have our own abilities and work that we do. And so it takes every joint supplying. And any thoughts on that? Kind of, Pete?
We want to make sure you had a new lawnmower because we expect you to go to church. You had to have a good car because we expect you to take people to different appointments. You know, when the church needs a roof, we don't want to pay because we're busy. We expect you to repair the roof.
Yeah.
When the building needs painted, and then we wonder why that church never grew.
Yeah.
Like you just said, we are all members of this body. We all have responsibilities. We don't expect the one preaching the word to stop preaching the word to mow the grass. We do that to allow them to be able to not hamper them.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because that's really a principle throughout life, isn't it? Just one person doing all the work of a congregation, that congregation is not going to grow. What happened if something happens to that one person? They leave. And we've probably all seen that, where congregations die because of that. And that's because all the members weren't doing their part, or one of the reasons. So, excellent point. Yeah. A lot of teaching, wasn't it? Yeah. We well know as new converts that we need to do teaching. You know, they need teaching to grow. That's a good.
I thought, I think we can impute here that we need to be more mindful of God's word, and his word is more important than physical.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. But they were spreading the workload out here, weren't they? And so, where were these men to be chosen from? From among you. Brethren, look ye out among you seven men. So they weren't coming out and hiring somebody, were they? This was a they were going to have to volunteer for this, weren't they? They were chosen among the people, but they would have to be willing to do it as well. But it was among themselves. And then what were the qualifications as we was getting to there, Brother Darrell? That's okay. Yeah. So, of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Verse 3 there. So, there was qualifications to be chosen, to be one of these men, to fulfill this task at hand. They had to be qualified, didn't they? And so, they had to have a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Can you think of other times in the Bible where there's qualifications to fulfill something? Okay, eldership and deacons, both. There's qualifications, aren't there? Yeah. What's that? Minister? Okay, he must preach sound doctrine, as Paul wrote Timothy. That's an excellent qualification. Yeah, excellent point. Any others that you thought of? The apostles had to be. That's right. Yeah, they had to be witnesses of Christ through his life and or his teaching there, that period. Yeah, that's an excellent example. Yeah, they had qualifications of the men that Moses was going to appoint. As Christians, do we have qualifications of ours that we have to meet to become a Christian? Think of, you know, pardon? Yeah, we have to do certain things to qualify, don't we? We got to, once we've heard the word, we've got to, you know, think about the plan of salvation. Repent of our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful. There's qualifications we have to meet. In general, as a Christian, we have to meet those. And so, throughout history of the Lord's people, there's been qualifications, hasn't there? And we still have those today. But of this group, they have a specific qualification. How many men were chosen? We talked about seven. And what was significant maybe about the men that were chosen? What group of people were these seven men from, John? They were all of the Grecians, weren't they? And it was the Grecian widows that were having issues. Is there some wisdom in that? If they're of the same group that are having issues, they're going to make sure it gets done, aren't they, properly, to their satisfaction, to the Lord's satisfaction. And so there was some wisdom Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. And it was the multitude that set forth these people before the apostles, wasn't it? So it was the group, members of the church among both, that decided that, apparently, because that's who they set forth before the apostles. So they had some wisdom in doing that, didn't they? So the seven men, we have the names here, and Nicholas was a proselyte of Antioch. What's it mean to be a proselyte? I hear what? Okay, so whatever, it would have been a Gentile of some other religion, or maybe no religion, but converted to the Jewish religion. So, was not born a Jew, but was converted. Yes. And or a newcomer too, it's referred. So yes. It is said the apostles laid their hands on them. Let's look at verse 6 there, whom they set before the apostles. So the church set before the apostles these seven men. And what did they do first? They prayed, didn't they? And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They laid their hands on them. What's that referring to? Or why would they have done that? Okay. Okay, so we know. So what you're getting at is we understand that when the apostles possibly laid hands on, they could pass on the gift of miracles and stuff. And yes. If the apostles laid hands on these after praying for them and then laying their hands on them, was that an endorsement by the apostles and then ultimately by the Lord showing approval for these folks? And the same terminologies, I don't want to get too far, but Acts 13 and in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And you can read the context there of Barnabas. But this was, it's the same terminology there. So it's an endorsement of these folks, of these seven, that had met the qualifications to do the work that was needed, that was being neglected by the church. So, one thing we might, I'm going to bring this up because it's often thought of. These are, some might consider these the first deacons. But were these truly deacons? Okay. Paul. That's exactly right. Yeah, those qualifications weren't written until later to Timothy, were they? By Paul, which isn't even in the picture here yet. He's not become a Christian yet. These were the reason that is sometimes mentioned, and just so everyone's aware of this, it's the daily ministration in verse 1 is serving. Definition of a deacon basically is a servant. And then also in verse 2, and serve tables, the serving part there. Now, this is a work that a deacon can do today, isn't it? They can take care of the widows and be in charge of that sort of thing. There's no doubt about that. I think it's a good example of that. But to say that these were appointed deacons, first of all, we have no mention of elders here, and we're not going to have deacons without elders. And then also they're appointed over this business. There is a specific need, this business. And so just to be mindful of that, that is something that people might say. And just be mindful of that. Any other questions on that? What takes place then in verse 7 after this? After their hands are laid on them, what happens to the word of God? It increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So we see this multiplying happening again. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Priests would have a lot of influence, wouldn't they? And so it just continues to spread, starting at Jerusalem. And we're still in Jerusalem. Right.
And we're now preaching the gospel. And so therefore now they were preaching Christ, and initially everything grew.
Yeah, because they were obedient to what? They were obedient to the faith or the gospel. And so it's a great section to learn about problems in the church and how problems can be handled. We need to... There's always probably going to be some issues that pop up at times, isn't there? And we need to use wisdom to handle those. And the apostles did that. And the congregation did that. And so a great lesson there for us. Going on then, the second part of this, let's just read verses 8 through 15 then. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And when they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake, then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto them and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face. It had been the face of an angel. And so we find one of the seven here, don't we, that was chosen, Stephen, in verse 8. And how is he described here? He described full of faith and power. And so what did he do?
Great wonders and miracles.
Yeah. And so he was performing miracles, wasn't he? First of all, he was full of faith. What do we know about faith? Without it, it is impossible to please God, isn't it? Hebrews 11, verse 6. So he was full of faith. Are we full of faith like Stephen? So if you think about a glass being full, where are we? Is our water at the top? Is it half full? Quarter? Two-thirds? Where are we at? We think about that. Full. Full of faith. Is it overflowing in us? He was doing these wonders. There was those individuals here that rose up, certain of the synagogue. So these would have been individuals from different parts of the world, not just from Jerusalem. We find from Cyrene, Alexandrians. That would have been Alexandria, Egypt. Cilicia, and of Asia. That would have been in modern Turkey. So they were disputing with Stephen. But what could they not do? They could not resist his wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Remember, he was a wise man because that was one of the qualifications, wasn't it, of the seven. And as with the apostles, did the people that were disputing with him like that very much? They didn't, did they? So what did they do? What's it mean to suborn? To bribe, basically. Yeah, to secretly induce them to say something, to bribe them. We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Had they heard that? They hadn't heard Stephen say that. But they said it. They lied. And they stirred up the people. The elders and the scribes came upon him, caught him, brought him to the council. So we're finding the council's getting a lot of action here, if you will, with dealing with these sort of issues, aren't they, right now, during this time period? They're not so happy about it either, are they? A lot of them. They caught him and brought him to the council. They set up these false witnesses. This man seethes not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And again, they say that Jesus is going to destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Was the customs which Moses delivered going to be changed? Were they being changed? They were, weren't they? They were being changed, but they didn't want to change. Those were individuals that dealing with this did not want to change. They weren't receiving the word, were they? Hence, why they're bribing people here. Why they're stirring up the crowd, the people here. Stirred up the people in verse 12. What is the difference here if you consider this and when Stephen's taken before the council and when the apostles were in chapter 5. Did you notice any difference?
First thing is, did you notice that Stephen is by himself?
Okay. All 12 apostles. Yeah, that's a good point. Anything else? When they took him... One thing I thought about when they took him, what was, when they took the 12 apostles, those taking him, had they stirred up the people? Had they, what was the, they feared the people. That's right. They feared them in Acts 5 and in verse 26. Then when the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. So it was apparently a different crowd wasn't it? Different group of people. They, and here in was Stephen's, they had stirred the people up in a negative sense. The crowd, the people there was against him. With the apostles, they were for them more so because they, those taking them feared him. Right.
Not listening to what the apostles were saying about the change of Jesus Christ coming. So that's how they did it, to enrage the people so that they could take him by force to bring him before the council, who was already, you know, being aggravated with this and seeing what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, we would say a perfect storm.
Right, right. Right. False witnesses involved here. You know, we'd had the miracles being done by the apostles, but then the miracles being done here too, but it was just totally, it was different, wasn't it? Totally different. It's how people receive the word. And okay.
Synagogue and not with the officials themselves.
Yeah.
So it helps stir up the people.
Yeah, yeah. They might have listened to the more locals than they did. Yeah, that's a good. So there's some differences here, and obviously the outcome is going to be different as well. So a point we can take from that, if we go back to Ephesians 4. You know, when we are converted, we have to grow, don't we? So we, and understand, study, so we can learn, know what to do and how to live. In verse 14, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's really what's going on here, isn't it? These folks are tossed to and fro here, being deceived. And we have to make sure that doesn't happen to us today. So after they set up these false witnesses and these accusations made against him, verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him. Just picture, just if you can imagine what that might have been like for Stephen, by himself, as was mentioned, with the whole council steadfastly looking on him. There would have been some intimidation there. Could have been. We're going to find out that that's not going to be the case. But just think of what Stephen was going through. And have we ever had to deal with something like that today? Maybe we've been put in uncomfortable situations or deal with things that aren't fun to deal with. But standing by yourself, of course, the Lord's with him, isn't he? And he knows that. We can't forget that. Before the council. And how did they see his face? It was the face of an angel. And I don't know exactly what that means or how that, what he looked like, but that's how they saw him. As had been the face of an angel. And so we find then here in chapter 6, the first problem that arose here for the local church, how they dealt with it, how they took care of it. And we're And we find Stephen here, a man full of faith that is going to stand for the Lord no matter what, isn't he? And we'll obviously talk about that next week, Lord willing. But so many good lessons here of how to deal with problems, that we must be full of faith as Stephen was. So we encourage each of us to evaluate ourselves and ask ourselves, are we full of faith as Stephen was? Any other thoughts or comments about this section, this chapter? Oh, sorry, Paulette. Might have intimidated them a little bit, you know. Yeah. Well, and he'd been performing miracles as well. Yeah. Apparently it didn't. Anything else? Appreciate your preparation for class and material is in the rack for Wednesday night and also next Sunday for Acts chapter 7. So encourage you to pick that up.